Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Kimberly Osgood, your host for Smart Money Moves. Our topic today is, what in the world is going on with Wall Street? And our leading man today is Mr. John Burroughs, Senior Loan Officer with Finance of America. Good afternoon, Mr. Burroughs. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, and please call me John. Mr. Burroughs is my father. So
Okay. I'll remember to do that, John. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
It's always my pleasure.
Thank you. And first off, so you're the Senior Loan Officer with Finance of America. Tell us a little bit about what it is you do. Give us a little background, how it is you got into the mortgage lending business.
Oh, goodness. Well, June 25th of 2020 will be my 37th anniversary as a mortgage banker, mortgage broker in the real estate lending arena. So I finally figured out how this works after all this time, so 37 years under my belt. Basically anything that has to do with money, procuring financing for purchases, refinance, and even structuring complicated commercial transactions, private money lending, bridge loans, you name it. If it has to do with real estate and financing, that's what we do at Finance of America, and that is my role.
Oh,
as a senior, both long in the tooth professionally and also in years.
Oh, okay. Well, our topic today is what in the world is going on with Wall Street, and can you talk to us about this absolute craziness that's going on with the real estate financing now? Now, there seems to be a lot of uncertainty now. A lot of people are out of work due to the coronavirus, and we know a lot of these people probably have mortgages, and I think I heard recently that California has there's been the highest number of people applying for unemployment benefits, I think, in history. So can you speak to these issues and tell us what's going on in the mortgage lending business?
Absolutely. You know, it's rather ironic, as I was explaining to somebody just an hour ago, that amidst all of the turmoil and loss of job and uncertainty and, of course, tragedy going on, the one industry that is actually going crazy busy right now is the real estate finance business.
Okay.
Part of the economic problems and woes in the real estate market that were triggered by a drop in interest rates that was really, really dramatic back in January, February. And what happened, Kimberly, is the market got so glutted with new business all at one time that it surpassed the ability to manage the flow of business coming in both liquidity, cash flow, and capacity, boots on the ground doing the job. Imagine, if you would, my analogy is that a boss comes up to an employee and drops a month of work on their desk at 4:30 in the afternoon, so that wrapped up by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Wow.
And that's pretty much what we're experiencing. So interest rates are at unprecedented lows now, and we went through some crazy fluctuations as the market took this brunt full force with just a huge influx of business, with many even major banks, Kimberly, actually closing their doors and saying, we cannot handle the business, we're not accepting loan applications. That's turning away business deliberately because they couldn't deal with it. Pretty wild, huh?
Wow, I've never heard it. Is that the first time in your experience something like this has happened?
I've seen similar activity when other issues came about some years past. But back at that time, the way a lender would handle it, how do you get people not to buy your product? Well, you just raise your price to the point where it's unattractive, and that's pretty much what happened. So there was an artificial boost in interest rates deliberately to stop the influx of new business, and then it trickled back down to normal. Well, our new normal now is, and I'm not going to get into a lot of technical issues too, because there's other more important things to talk about, relevant to us and our other CWI members.
Right.
But long and the short of it is, really right now, things are still almost back to normal with the flow of business coming in the door. And if people are looking for some relief, the lucky ones that are still employed and don't have any fear of job loss, et cetera, it's probably a great time to examine that. And I know they have time because they're at home working.
Right, right. So do you mean have time to examine maybe doing a refinance or purchasing something?
Well, yeah, and purchasing. Ironically enough, even in this marketplace I experienced this week, I have several people that are out very creatively still looking to buy real estate, but they can't really tour the property, so they're doing virtual tours and writing offers. And just yesterday, I had a client here in San Diego County get outbid three multiple over asking price offers. So believe it or not, even with all the craziness, we still have a viable, avid sale market right now. And if somebody's looking to sell a property, I can't imagine a better time to do it because you will still get offers on it. But as far as the refi market goes, too, it's something that people have time at home. I know paperwork is a pain. People hate doing it, putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's our job here to help, you know, kind of streamline that process.
Oh, okay. Now, I've heard the term mortgage payment forbearance and also loan deferral. What exactly are those two things? What are the difference and how does it work for a person who has a loan?
That's an excellent question and very, very timely here. So I'm going to encourage any of our borrowers who are borrowers, any of our listeners who are homeowners and are experiencing some financial difficulties right now, certainly they've heard of these terms. So I'm going to explain each one in detail.
Okay.
A forbearance on the mortgage is when you turn to your lender, your current loan servicer, and you say, I'm having difficulty, I cannot make my payment. And they may very well say, that's fine. We will give you a forbearance agreement, something in writing that says you may skip the next 2, 4, 6, or however many loan payments, and you can pay us back at a later date. And here's the mm-hmm. key, is the forbearance is not debt forgiveness, so don't misconstrue that term at all.
Okay.
It means you're just putting it off. How you put it off is the critical part, because it could very well be that 6 months down the road, you might be faced with a balloon payment for all 6 months of those missed payments. So you can see clearly if somebody was having difficulty now, imagine getting a balloon payment or a bill for 6 months payments all at one time.
Wow.
You could literally end up shooting yourself in the foot by giving yourself some temporary relief.
Mm-hmm.
So the other side of coin is the loan deferral. Now, this occurs when who you make your payment to actually owns the loan, like a bank or a portfolio lender. So if they actually own the loan, and this is by far a minority of all the home loans in the country, but if they own the loan, they can make up whatever rules they want. So they may simply say, we'll let you skip the next 6 months payment and we'll tack it on at the end of the loan as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you had 200 months left on your current mortgage, 200 months of payments due, and you skipped 6 months payments. Your loan deferral says, I can tack on an extra 6 months at the end of the loan. So now you owe 206 months worth of payments.
Okay.
So they're not hitting you with a balloon. They're not going to jack up your payment and possibly spread it out over 3 or 4 months. So it shouldn't cause a problem for you in the short term and, of course, in the long term. And then there's another aspect, too, I'll get to in a minute, that has to do with impound or escrow accounts, too. But does that make sense?
Oh, definitely, definitely. So I guess if someone has a choice, the loan deferral probably makes more sense.
Yeah, in my opinion, professional opinion, definitely here. And the forbearance, I look to folks and say, if you have the ability to make your payment, I recommend that you do continue to do so. But it's really a last-ditch effort if you really find yourself in a bind. And what we're trying to avoid in our industry is create another problem by just kicking the can down the road, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, if people are still having a problem 6 months down the road, are they going to be at risk for foreclosure or notice of default and things like that? We don't want to repeat, although it was driven by totally different circumstances. We don't want to see another 2008, 9, or 10 on our doorstep.
Right, right. Now, with the payment forbearance and the loan deferral, if someone chooses one of those options, does it affect their credit? I mean, is something negatively put on their credit report?
No, most lenders right now, and I won't say definitively, and I'll explain why in a moment, but most creditors are saying, no, we're not going to report a late payment. We're not going to hit you with penalties. We're not going to hit you with additional accrued interest. So it shouldn't. However, and here's the big but, if you go, say, 6 months down the road, and what's critical about getting a new loan, whether it's a refi or purchase, is that they're going to look at your credit history. Well, if the payment is due and a payment is not made, they're not reporting late, but it will show a disruption in the payment. And our industry is already addressing this, and people are doing handsprings at every level to try to figure out how to do a workaround on that. Is that there'll be a blank of no payment history, and I'm sure, given the circumstances, there'll be some forgiveness involved, but that has not been definitively published or outlined with all the powers to be at Wall Street and the regulatory entities that are out there.
Okay. Now, with the loan forbearance and the deferral, is that something that's normally written in the loan contract? Well, so what a person would know it, is that, you know...
Yeah, if you looked at a standard set of loan documents, which can be any, you know, the note and deed of trust of what we're looking at, they address a forbearance. Deferral usually is not written into any contract because that's something that's malleable with regards to who the loan note holder or the loan servicer is. Forbearance is addressed in most standard Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac type of contracts, and it explains in detail. But I'm telling everybody, don't stick your head in the sand. I'm saying be proactive. Make the phone call. Plan on being on hold for a long time. And make sure that whomever you're talking to on the other end of the phone seems to know what they're talking about. Don't assume that they have it all under control. I'm a skeptic, and I just want to make sure I have it in writing. And it will be an agreement that has to be a modification and probably notarized, which in this atmosphere, again, can become a new challenge because of social distancing, et cetera. So we're in a place in our industry that we have never been ever in the history of our country. But I will say one thing very positively is that I have never seen an industry get their act together, come up with workarounds, and solve issues and problems in such a short period of time. And I've got to give nothing but kudos to all the smart people out there just doing, breaking their neck, trying to get this machine fixed in these troubling times.
Oh, okay. Now, you mentioned the loan rates went down the beginning of the year. Do you foresee them still staying low? I mean, I've heard some people say they're 3.5, 3.6 in that range. What do you see the future as far as the loan rates?
I don't see anything on the horizon that would remotely come close to bumping interest rates up.
Okay.
Now, I do have a crystal ball on my desk.
Okay,
it
what
doesn't
does it say?
Really, well, moving forward, it doesn't really say anything. It looks nice, but it doesn't work. So all that being said, but I think you have to just look at the basic economic situation. What's going on there? What drives these rates low? Everybody knows that the market's getting beat up. And by that, I mean the stock market. And there's a dynamic between the stock market and the bond market.
Right.
And we're in these mortgage-backed securities. And usually it's about the 10-year bond that will drive the long-term rates. Well, it's at a historic low.
Okay.
So we've seen rates at and even well below what you had mentioned just a moment ago. Of course, everything's based upon everybody's creditworthiness, the equity in their property, the purpose of the loan to purchase a refinance or a rate and term refinance. But whatever the need is, though, Timing is perfect if you're in a position to do so, where I've seen people make dramatic improvements in their cash flow, or even some that say, I find it an opportunity with rates so low to maybe go from my old 30-year loan to a 20 or a 15-year loan at even lower rates and cut down on the term of the loan. Maybe not so saving so much on a month-to-month basis, but saving many, many thousands of dollars in the long term by virtue of this process. So I think it behooves everybody to take a look at their situation. And, of course, if there's any questions or concerns, that's when you need to reach out to the professionals you know and trust
right.
that are going to give you good, rock-solid advice.
Okay.
Don't assume your current mortgage lender is that answer, too.
Okay.
I won't get on my soapbox right now about that, but I find sometimes having multiple opinions, just like if it was a serious medical issue, you'd get more than one opinion on it.
Correct. Okay, that makes sense. Well, right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break to recognize our sponsors.
Thank you, Kimberly. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our sponsor, Microsoft. The Microsoft mission is to empower every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. Microsoft believes technology is a powerful force for good, and their focus is a sustainable future where everyone has access to the benefits and opportunities created by technology. For more information about how Microsoft supports women in business, please visit their website on our show page. Thank you, Microsoft, for your support. And now, Kimberly, back to our show.
Thank you. Before we go further, John, just in case our listeners may want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
Oh, very simple. I have a direct line that, and I answer every one of my phone calls personally, and that means I could be reached at area code 760-944-6555. Again, that's 760-944-6555, or they can just go to my website, which is John B. At, oh, we changed my website. Oh, goodness. I'll get that at the end of the story. I have to look that one up. It's so new, I forgot the new address.
Oh,
but
okay.
But the phone number works fine, or I can always be emailed at John B., J-O-H-N-B, at financeofamerica.com.
Okay, great. Now, tell us, I know you've been in the business for 37 years. Are there any other accomplishments or things that you want to tell our listeners about?
Oh, goodness. Well, aside from being a past suit talker, which I was very proud to do as the second male suit talk presenter in last year, and what was it, May of 2019, that was probably one of the things I'm most proud about in my career, most proud of in my career, because it was a huge compliment to be invited and then to be able to pull off that experience. Was great. It was an eye-opener for me. Mm-hmm. I have done a lot of things in the industry. I do radio broadcasting on a regular basis for the general public on major broadcast, Salem Broadcasting Networks in San Diego County. Twice every Wednesday with the financial planners, estate planning attorneys, realtors, tax experts, things of that nature. And one of the things that I did do, which is a little outside the box, was about 9 years ago, Kimberly, I was introduced by an estate planning attorney to a situation that was dealing with the intricacies of a difficult handling of financial handling of inherited properties. Now, oftentimes, if you can imagine, well, let's face it, what are people never going to stop doing in this lifetime? Getting born, getting married, having kids,
dying.
Unfortunately, getting divorced and dying.
Right.
And that is reality. And oftentimes, estates will have real estate involved in that. Well, then you have the heirs to that estate. Most often and commonly, the children. And sometimes a dispute can arise, or, you know, hopefully most of the time it's amicable. But invariably, one of the children or multiple children would like to keep the family home, and then the other heirs would like to just be bought out.
Right.
So when those things come up, there's some very intricate rules that have to do with financing for not only getting the cash necessary to pay off the other heirs properly in the right way, and also oftentimes to preserve, in California at least, the real estate tax base. As an example, mom and dad, one example I have is that one of my clients, their parents, father literally built the home here in San Diego with his own two hands some 80 years ago.
Wow.
And the property tax bases on that property were ridiculously low because they lived there their whole lives. Something like $600 a year on a $2.5 million piece of real estate.
Mm.
Well, with the parent-to-child exclusion in San Diego and many other counties throughout the state of California, there's a way to transfer that tax base to the children and not have it reassessed even when changing title. Well, that is a very intricate process, and I've developed over these years an expertise in that. So if anybody runs into those issues and there's a way to get it handled without shooting yourself in the foot financially. And I've developed an expertise through the Probate Attorneys of San Diego, of which I'm an affiliate member, of how to preserve that process. And I don't know of any other loan officer that actually markets to and has made that as an expertise in their bag of tricks, if you would. So very proud of that as well. And I get calls. I've got calls from two attorneys this morning, literally, coincidentally, about this exact issue for their clients. So just one of those little things.
Okay, yeah, that's a good thing to do, because I know there are, even, you know, of course, in L.A. County, that's the same thing here, too. If a property is passed on from parent and even grandparent to grandchild, the house does not have to be reassessed at the higher rate. And that's a good thing. I've known people who've inherited property from their parents, and, you know, their tax base pretty much stayed the same, you know, because of that law. And that's wonderful. Let's see. Now, you were saying this is a great time to buy, great time to refinance. So you don't foresee any upheavals down the line? I know your crystal ball may not be able to tell you everything, but.
No, I really don't. And, you know, the jury's out on that one, of course, too, because how long this whole issue and this problem continue, and that could have a ripple effect down the road. But as it is right now, the pent-up energy for buyers, the appetite to purchase home, is still unsatisfied out there. It is still very much of a seller's market. I see that by virtue of multiple offers when properties are being bid upon. I think everybody's got to have a roof over their head. So being a homeowner right now, in some circumstances, I'm looking at mortgage payments because of low rates being comparable pretty much to what it costs to rent. And, you know, depending on the area, rents are not going down in the state of California.
Right, definitely.
We pretty much have a housing shortage, particularly an affordable one. So the demand is there, and I know that the sellers that are motivated to sell, oftentimes they're downsizing or leaving the state, whatever their motivation. I still see them holding out for their price and getting it. So unless we hit a wave of massive foreclosures, which might, and I don't say will, but might affect values in an area, I don't see us having a real dilemma with anything.
Okay, that's wonderful.
In the near future, yeah, good news.
Okay. Now, are reverse mortgages a viable option? I know I know a number of people that have them. I've heard pros and cons. I've heard people say they're horrible, you shouldn't get one. What is your opinion on reverse mortgages?
Well, I will have to say, and of course I have a biased opinion, but again, this is my business, but Finance of America Reverse, our sister company, is probably the second or third largest producer of reverse mortgages in the entire United States, if not the world or the equivalent. So that being said, they are certainly not for everybody, but I also feel that they are the most misunderstood and fastest growing segment of the mortgage market right now. Many misconceptions, and I encourage anybody too many details to go into in our short time on the air today, but I encourage people to call me if they're looking into that. But I guess the idea is it is a financial tool. Not only can it you can do a purchase with a reverse mortgage. Most people don't know that. But you can buy a property with a reverse mortgage, and it can save on cash flow where you don't have to make a monthly payment on your mortgage. It defers until that loan gets paid off after somebody passes. or passes on to their heirs through a refinance, however they choose to do it. But more importantly, it can create an income stream. It can eliminate a current mortgage payment. It can offer cash in hand to do much-needed repairs to a property. And we're even looking at a proprietary product that we invented ourselves, frankly, that goes up to $4 million for a reverse mortgage. And many sophisticated investors are actually using it as a financial planning tool, equity from their property as opposed to their portfolio, depending on how the market's treating it.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Well, we may have some individuals who might want to talk to you about that. Let our listeners again know how they can get in touch with you.
Well, my direct phone number is 760-944-6555. Again, 760-944-6555. And my website is FAM, as in family, advisor, FAMADVISOR, famadvisor.com/John Burroughs. And Burroughs is spelled B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S.
Oh, great. Well, we're approaching the end of our show. Can you, are there any final remarks you'd like to make for our listeners out there?
Well, I'm just telling people to don't panic. Well, they're not hanging around the water cooler at work, so we know those discussions aren't happening right now.
Right.
But always get a second opinion, get some good, solid advice when you're looking to get information about whatever it is, purchase, refinance, selling your property, reverse mortgage, or most importantly, in these uncertain times, being careful about your decisions on what to do with your current home loan. If you're looking into a forbearance agreement or a deferral, just know exactly what you're facing down the road and make sure that you plan ahead. That is my biggest issue. And if you do decide to move forward with financing, my number one comment I make to every single borrower, you may not believe this, Kimberly, but I say my biggest hurdle when dealing with you as a new client and getting your transaction done is you, the client. When your loan officer and your lender asks you for information, they're not doing it just to hear themselves talk. They really do need it. And as the rules are changing on a daily basis, this is becoming a little bit more difficult, more hoops to jump through. So be patient, be cooperative, and the deal will get done. But just cooperate with that's trying to help us help you.
Great, great. Well, that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like to say thank you, John, for being our leading man today. And special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, as we are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Again, this is Kimberly Osgood, your host of Smart Money Moves. It has been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business, executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.